The insect paused for a moment to recover from its agitation and then reached out a tentacle to answer a ringing phone. A metal hand restrained it.
"Excuse me," said the owner of the metal hand, in a voice that would have made an insect of a more sentimental disposition collapse in tears. This was not such an insect, and it couldn't stand robots.
"Yes, sir?"
it snapped.
"Can I help you?"
"I doubt it," said Marvin.
"Well, in that case, if you'll just excuse me..."
Six of the phones were now ringing. A million things awaited the insect's attention.
"No one can help me," intoned Marvin.
"Yes, sir, well..."
"Not that anyone's tried, of course."
The restraining metal hand fell limply by Marvin's side. His head hung forward very slightly.
"Is that so?"
the insect said tartly.
"Hardly worth anyone's while to help a menial robot, is it?"
I'm sorry, sir, if..."
"I mean, where's the percentage in being kind or helpful to a robot if it doesn't have any gratitude circuits?"
"And you don't have any,"
said the insect, who didn't seem to be able to drag itself out of this conversation.
"I've never had occasion to find out," Marvin informed it.
"Listen, you miserable heap of maladjusted metal."
"Aren't you going to ask me what I want?"
The insect paused. Its long, thin tongue darted out and licked its eyes and darted back again.
"Is it worth it?"
it asked.
"Is anything?" said Marvin immediately.
"What do you want?"
"I'm looking for someone."
"Who?"
hissed the insect.
"Zaphod Beeblebrox," said Marvin. "He's over there."
The insect shook with rage. It could hardly speak.
"Then why did you ask me?"
it screamed.
"I just wanted something to talk to," said Marvin.
"What?"
"Pathetic, isn't it?"
With a grinding of gears, Marvin turned and trundled off. He caught up with Zaphod approaching the elevators. Zaphod span round in astonishment.
"Hey, Marvin," he said. "Marvin, how did you get here?"
Marvin was forced to say something which came very hard to him.
"I don't know," he said.
"But,
One moment I was sitting in your ship, feeling very depressed, and the next moment I was standing here, feeling utterly miserable. An improbability field, I expect."
"Yeah," said Zaphod. "I expect my great-grandfather sent you along to keep me company."
"Thanks a bundle, Grandad," he added to himself under his breath.
"So, how are you?"
he said aloud.
"Oh, fine," said Marvin. "If you happen to like being me, which personally I don't."
Yeah,
said Zaphod as the elevator doors opened.
"Hello," said the elevator sweetly. "I'm to be your elevator for this trip to the floor of your choice. I have been designed by the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation to take you, the visitor to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, into these, their offices. If you enjoy your ride, which will be swift and pleasurable, then you may care to experience some of the other elevators which have recently been installed in the offices of the Galactic Tax Department, Boobiloo Baby Foods and Assyrian State Mental Hospital, where many ex-Sirius Cybernetics Corporation executives will be delighted to welcome your visits, sympathy and happy tales of the outside world."
"Yeah," said Zaphod, stepping into it. "What else do you do besides talk?"
"I go up," said the elevator. "Or down."
"Good," said Zaphod. "We're going up."
"Or down,"
the elevator reminded him.
"Yeah, okay, up, please."
There was a moment of silence.
"Down's very nice," suggested the elevator, hopefully.
"Oh, yeah?"
"Super."
"Good," said Zaphod. "Now will you take us up?"
"May I ask you," inquired the elevator in its sweetest, most reasonable voice, "if you've considered all the possibilities that down might offer you?"
Zaphod knocked one of his heads against the inside wall. He didn't need this, he thought to himself. This, of all things, he had no need of. He hadn't asked to be here. If he was asked at this moment where he would like to be, he would probably have said he would like to be lying on the beach with at least 50 beautiful women and a small team of experts working out new ways they could be nice to him, which was his usual reply. To this, he would probably have added something passionate on the subject of food. One thing he didn't want to be doing was chasing after the man who ruled the universe, who was only doing a job which he might as well keep at, because if it wasn't him, it would only be someone else. Most of all, he didn't want to be standing in an office block arguing with an elevator.
"Like what other possibilities?" he said wearily.
"Well," the voice trickled on like honey on biscuits, "there's the basement, the microfiles, the heating system, It paused. "Nothing particularly exciting," it admitted, "but they are alternatives."
"Holy Zarquan," muttered Zaphod.
"Did I ask for an existential elevator?" He beat his fists against the wall.
"What's the matter with the thing?" he spat.
"It doesn't want to go up," said Marvin simply. "I think it's afraid."
"Afraid?" cried Zaphod. "Of what? Heights? An elevator that's afraid of heights?"
"No," said the elevator miserably. "Of the future."
"The future?" exclaimed Zaphod. "What does the wretched thing want? A pension scheme?"
At that moment, a commotion broke out in the reception hall behind them. From the walls around them came the sound of suddenly active machinery.
"We can all see into the future,"
whispered the elevator in what sounded like terror.
"It's part of our programming."
Zaphod looked out of the elevator. An agitated crowd had gathered round the elevator area, pointing and shouting. Every elevator in the building was coming down, very fast. He ducked back in.
"Marvin," he said, "just get this elevator to go up, will you? We've got to get the Zarny Whoop."
"Why?"
said Marvin dolefully.
"I don't know," said Zaphod. "But when I find him, he'd better have a very good reason for me wanting to see him."